Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as most of you know, we have completed our verse-by-verse study through the book of James, and we're taking just two or three broadcasts to do an overview of the book, sort of a review of the book before we leave it behind and move into another book in the Word of God. And so we are looking at some of the important effects of saving faith, because that really is what the book of James is about. How that genuine faith will be manifested by a changed life. And we're taking it chapter by chapter. We've seen, for example, how saving faith enables us to handle life's trials, James chapter 1. And number 2, how saving faith enables us to love others, according to James chapter 2. And thirdly, how saving faith enables us to tame our tongue, as taught us in James chapter 3. And that brings us to chapter 4 and 5, which will be our consideration for today as we wrap up our review of the epistle of James and move on to another area on the broadcast tomorrow. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, November 13. And many thanks to those who remember that we can teach on this station only as the gifts of God's people enable us to do so. Well, what else? Saving faith enables us to resolve personal conflicts. That's chapter 4. And what an important area. Personal conflicts, which often, by the way, are related to an untamed tongue, which takes us backwards into chapter 3. But now in chapter 4, Pastor James gives us some very vital help in how to solve or resolve, I guess is a better way of putting it, personal conflicts. Personal conflicts, which turn out many times to be our source of greatest sorrow. We have a lot of sorrows in life, and I don't want to minimize any of the great sorrows, such as the death of a child or other deaths of loved ones and various other sorrows that can be of great magnitude. But probably, on average, the greatest source of sorrows in life are unresolved personal conflicts. It may be a marriage or other immediate family relationships or sometimes extended family relationships or job relationships, neighborhood relationships. I mean, it can go on and on. Church relationships. That's really a difficult one. And these unresolved personal conflicts tend to bother us, to trouble us almost like nothing else. And it is not only the source of many of our greatest conflicts and sorrows, but it is unfortunately an area of some of our greatest defeats. And if we are honest, we will admit that we tend to lose the battle too many times when it comes to personal conflicts. We tend to lose our temper. We tend to say the wrong thing, back to taming the tongue in James chapter 3. And then, of course, it just adds fuel to the fire and things accelerate more and more until finally it seems like we've got a broken relationship that can never be mended. How many of God's people have broken family relationships, brothers, sisters, whatever it may be, where the relationship is so badly broken that it doesn't seem possible that there will ever be any reconciliation. How sad that is. We see that among families, broken relationships. Sometimes it manifests itself at funerals or weddings, times when families traditionally come together, and sometimes these conflicts are pretty well hidden from other people, and so they're only known to a small circle of people within the family. But when these big events come and the whole family is supposed to get together for a wedding or at a funeral, sometimes that's when these strained and broken relationships manifest themselves to others. And of course, I don't need to tell you that following funerals, sometimes they manifest themselves in the division of the inheritance. And oh boy, there we go again. So what do we learn from James chapter 4 that will help us resolve personal conflicts? Well, first of all, we need to remember that conflicts are born out of covetous desires. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Now, when you throw that murder in there, that kind of seems to put it in a different plane, and you say, wait a minute, that's going way beyond anything that I experience in my life, and I certainly hope so. James is obviously dealing with exceptional situations and extreme situations, but the basic principles are the same. And we need to realize that so many of our conflicts are related to just plain old materialism and greed. That comes out in the inheritance, the division of the inheritance, doesn't it? But it also turns out to be the source of so many other conflicts, that it really can be traced back to envy, to covetousness, to greed, to just having a jaundiced eye. I cannot tell you how many sibling rivalries when brothers and sisters grow up and head out into the world, and one of them does much better financially than another one, has a better job, has a thriving business that they started, and many times they'll have brothers or sisters who are just as intelligent, just as well educated, sometimes not, but sometimes that's so, have started their own businesses, but not with the same success. In fact, sometimes the ones that made the better grades in school have less success than the ones who didn't, and sometimes it you can see the envy, the jealousy that raises its ugly head, and there go the conflicts. And of course, nobody says I'm estranged from my brother or my sister because I'm envious of their success. I'm jealous. I'm covetous. I resent their material prosperity. But so many times that's exactly what's beneath the surface. And we need to just recognize that. And we need to learn to commit all those things to God. Like the Apostle Paul, who said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And if we will cultivate contentment, gratitude with what God has given to us, and contentment with what God has given to us, and an understanding that a sovereign God has bestowed upon us exactly what he wants us to have, and has bestowed upon our brother or sister what he wants them to have, and it is God's prerogative to do that, and we have no right to be jealous about it. In fact, when we are defying the wisdom of Almighty God. And furthermore, conflicts are not only born out of covetous desires, but they're fueled by a critical spirit. James 4:11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother judges his brother, speaks evil of the law, and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Yes. Conflicts fueled by this critical spirit, this judgmental spirit. And how do we solve that? Well, we need to recognize our wrong when we are doing this and yield judgments to God. Let God do the judging. Now, we recognize that there are proper areas for Christians to exercise judgment. The Bible teaches us to judge prophets or representatives of God as to whether they are true or false, to judge spiritual fruit, whether it is truly, truly good fruit or bad fruit, to judge sound doctrine or judge doctrine, whether it is sound doctrine or is erroneous, and so forth. There, to judge whether someone is truly a sheep or is a wolf in sheep's clothing. These are judgments that we need to make and need the discernment of the Spirit of God and the Word of God in order to make these properly. That's the only way we can make them properly. But there are a lot of areas of judgment that we just have to yield to God, particularly when it comes to how other Christians behave. And again, there's a proper place to go to our brother, to talk to them about something that we are concerned about. There certainly is a place given to us in the Word of God for churches to deal with members who cross the line in their behavior and go into areas such as sexual immorality and so forth and need to be confronted and corrected in those areas. But there are so many areas where it just becomes a matter of envy. We're judging others because we're envious of God's blessing upon their lives, and then they do something that we don't approve of. And so we are quick to judge, quick to criticize. The spirit of envy turns into malice, and malice turns into that critical spirit, and more than the critical spirit, that critical tongue. And many times we don't even realize that's what's going on. And then we wonder why we have problems, personal conflicts, unresolved personal conflicts, when this kind of behavior has been going on. We've got to learn to commit others to God to be the judge. When these are areas that we are not sanctioned to judge by the Bible, it's just as wrong to fail to judge when we are told that we should, as it is to judge when we are told that we should not. And we'll have to study the Bible to sort all that out. So much of our success in life, depends upon a careful study of God's Word and learning how to obey it and where to apply one truth and where to apply another one. But oh, we've got to learn to just commit certain things to the Lord. Let Him take care of it. Who am I to judge another man's servant? Who am I to do the kind of judging of God's servants that God alone can do? I've got to give it to Him, and that'll solve an awful lot of these conflicts. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.